The state Senate Democrats have proposed a package of new gun legislation. Joining us to explain how it would all work is the sponsor of three of the nine bills, State Senator Brian Kavanaugh. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too.
Tell us about this package of bills that the state Senate Democrats have introduced this week.
So 5 years ago, I and many of my colleagues in both houses and both parties were proud to pass the SAFE Act. But today's package is a recognition that, like many public policy problems, we have a lot more work to do. So we have a package of bills that are intended to close various loopholes and give law enforcement and families who might be aware that someone is experiencing a crisis that might cause them to be dangerous, some new tools to address the situations that we're facing and to reduce gun violence and make New Yorkers safer.
All right. One of the bills that you actually introduced, I think, earlier this year, basically allows a judge to restrict somebody's gun rights. How do you make sure that someone isn't going to commit a crime with a gun?
It creates something called an extreme risk protection order. There are five states that already have similar laws in the books, including states like Indiana, where I think it's fair to say there's a significant concern for gun rights. And we share a concern for the fact that the Constitution provides people some rights with respect to guns. However, this bill is intended to address situations where someone can be shown by evidence to be likely to cause harm to themselves or to others. That's a very high legal standard. It is the same standard that we use for involuntary civil commitment. And the standard, it would permit law enforcement or basically anybody who would be eligible to seek a protection order with respect to an individual or law enforcement can go to a court and present evidence. And the judge, if they find the evidence, the probable cause, they are allowed to issue a very temporary order. The respondent would then have 3 to 6 business days, at which point they'd be able to have a hearing to contest that result. And at that point, the judge would have to find by clear and convincing evidence, which again is a significant standard, that this person is likely to cause harm to themselves or others. If they do that, they would issue an order that could last up to a year. The order would expire automatically after a year unless the petitioner sought a renewal of the order. And there are various other protections. This is not about committing a crime. This is the only question the court would be asking itself is this person likely to cause harm to themselves or others?
All right, let me ask you a question from the other perspective. So let's say I am the victim of domestic violence and I want my husband's gun to be taken away from him. So he has 3 to 6 days before he needs to turn that gun over?
No. I would note that there are already some provisions with respect to domestic violence, and the governor has put forth some provisions to strengthen that. This bill is broader and would deal with all kinds of situations where somebody might be in danger of harming themselves or a situation that's not a domestic violence situation.
So your bill precludes domestic violence situations?
No, I would just say it's much broader. So in that circumstance, if you wanted to seek an extreme risk protection order, you or law enforcement on your behalf could go to a court and seek an order. The order would be immediate, meaning law enforcement would then serve the order on the person.
And take the gun away.
And tell them that they relinquish their guns. The 3 to 6 days is the time after, within 3 to 6 days, the respondent would have a right to challenge that.
Okay. The two other bills that you have, what do they do?
I have another bill that adds misdemeanor hate crimes to the list of crimes that would cause you to be prohibited.
What's a misdemeanor hate crime? Give us an example.
Hate crimes are crimes that are motivated by racial animus or other kinds of animus.
Right.
And misdemeanor hate crimes typically involve serious threat of violence or some other.
What about graffiti?
Prohibiting. I would say there are probably some circumstances in which you could be convicted of a misdemeanor as a result of graffiti, but there would probably have to be other aggravating circumstances in most cases. The point of this bill is that is misdemeanor hate crimes, along with other misdemeanors that we've singled out, like misdemeanor and domestic violence offenses, warrant the same treatment as certain felonies that prohibit someone from purchasing a gun.
Is it forever? Or is there a length during which you have to live without a gun and then you can get it back?
Under current law, there are a series of prohibitors. And if you meet one of those criteria, you are prohibited for life. This bill does not do anything to change that. It simply adds misdemeanor hate crimes to the list of many crimes that cause you to be a prohibited purchaser of a gun.
Let's talk about the third bill real quickly that you're sponsoring.
Third bill deals with the fact that if you are domiciled in another state, currently state authorities in New York cannot seek those records from out of state. This would require that the applicant sign a waiver that would permit law enforcement in New York to review those records no matter what state they're from, assuming somebody had been domiciled in the other state.
The New York Rifle and Pistol Association is suing the state for its restrictions on carrying handguns outside the home. And under current law, while handgun carry licenses may be issued to certain people who can show that they need it for self-defense or something, ordinary people can't do it. So they're suing. Any comment?
I would say that the parameters of people's rights under the Second Amendment have been adjudicated in many jurisdictions over a significant period of time. I think it's up to the courts the extent to which individual permitting authorities are getting the balance right. So to the extent that the Supreme Court has ruled on this, they've ruled that people have a right to a gun to protect their home. The Supreme Court has yet to rule that anyone has a much broader right to carry a gun. But again, the courts will sort that out.
You know how there are different stepping stones for the minimum wage. There are differences between New York City and upstate New York, and the minimum wage bill sort of acknowledges that. There are some people who want to know if there's a way for the legislature to acknowledge the different culture around guns between New York City and upstate.
I work on this issue. I'm the chair of a statewide coalition on this issue, and I also am the chair of a national coalition that works. So I work with legislators from every state and from rural areas and suburban areas and urban areas. It is not the case that people of different backgrounds have dramatically different perspectives on whether, for example, you ought to be able to pass a background check in order to purchase a weapon. Our focus is on keeping people safe regardless of where they live, and again, keeping guns out of the wrong hands. There's nothing we've done that meaningfully impedes somebody from hunting, from having a gun in their home to protect themselves, unless there's something about that person that the law deems makes them a danger to themselves or others. I live in a city that has among the lowest gun violence death rates in the country for a large city. I don't think New York City residents have any more right to protection than residents of Buffalo or Rochester or rural areas upstate. I think we need to protect all New Yorkers, and gun violence we know occurs in every kind of community.
Do you have a Republican state senator who is willing to sponsor this legislation?
The Extremist Protection Order bill, which is my focus for this session, currently has 23 co-sponsors. They are all Democrats, but we are reaching out to people on both sides of the aisle. There are one or two of the gun violence prevention bills in the package today that have similar bills that Republicans have expressed some interest in. I would most particularly note our bill that is carried by Senator Hoylman, which bans what are called bump stocks. These are the accessories that allow semi-automatic weapons to function like automatic weapons. There is a Republican version of that as well that's been introduced in the Senate. But again, I think that these bills are intended to protect people, to keep guns out of the wrong hands, prevent people who might be dangerous to themselves or others from engaging in violence, and I think that we ought to be able to develop a consensus. I would note that a third of the Republican conference at the time of the SAFE Act voted for the SAFE Act because they all understood that this is, that was a series of sensible steps. You do have bills that say the SAFE Act should apply only in New York City. I would note that in Nassau County and Westchester and other places near the city, many of these provisions are very popular. But the idea that only
you wouldn't know that by driving up and down my road.
Well, look,
the SAFE Act, and then
I've seen repeal the SAFE Act, and yet, and I saw a Republican candidate for governor last time who campaigned on repealing the SAFE Act. And when the New York Times asked him if that meant he wanted to repeal the background check provision of the SAFE Act, he said no, he wanted to keep the background check provision. The background checks on private sales were the core of the SAFE Act.
State Senator Brian Kavanaugh, thank you.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. 2.5 million members speaking with one voice to ensure a better life for working men and women. Information at nysafl-cio.org.